بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد علم شعراني continues with the rights of brotherhood by saying ومن حق الأخي على الأخي أن يأمره بستر المقام إذا تلمح منه الميل إلى الظهور ومن أحب الخفاء فهو عبد الخفاء وكل من خرج إلى الخلق قبل وجود الإذن الخاص له فهو مفتون ومسخرة للناس وما خرج الأولياء للخلق إلا بعد أن هددوا بالسلب إن لم يفعلوا فالعاقل من ستر مقامه حتى يتولى الله إظهاره بغير مراد منه. This is a bit more complex and it generally refers to the kind of ambitious people among us. This is somebody who finds in themselves the ability to speak to people, to hold position among people, to be on maybe on boards or leadership positions or any other position of that nature. So they try their best to gain that position, some kind of superiority, influence, and so on and so forth. So what he's saying here is that it's the right of one brother over the other, that if he sees inclination of his brother towards promoting himself and towards expressing himself, then he should command him, encourage him, and advise him to take it easy and to conceal his state. He's saying the reason for this is that anybody who becomes apparent and tries to become distinguished among people before he has a direct permission, then he is going to be tested. He's going to undergo a severe challenge. He could become a laughing stock for the people. And then he says that generally the awliya, the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they never went out and expressed themselves to the people until they were warned by saying that your state of closeness will be removed if you don't do so. Essentially, they preferred to remain obscure. And you get this about a number of awliya. For example, if you read the biography of Shaykh Abdullah Al-Alawi Al-Haddad, and it says that if it had been his choice, nobody would have known him. That's how he would have preferred it. So these kind of people generally only reveal themselves, or are forced to reveal themselves, or Allah reveals them, others reveal them, by force in a sense. Now, this is quite a complicated matter, because if you have something that you can help people with, then you should help them. I think what all of this boils down to, really, is the intention. When you see fame is something that really is a big attraction. It's a big fitna, it's a big challenge. It's very pleasurable to have fame, to be known whenever you go to places. In one sense, it's a good thing that you'll get respect. People won't humiliate you. But then on the other hand, it feels uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes you go to places and somebody says, "Oh, I've seen you before." I said, "Maybe you've seen somebody else. Are you the guy online?" I said, "No, I'm right here." It does feel a bit weird sometimes. But the main thing that he's speaking about here is to come out and prematurely try to make yourself famous. Ask for leadership positions sometimes. One is, there's an accomplishment, there's ways to do things, it's needed, and you do it with full sincerity, khalas, that's fine. But the problem here is that if something is done prematurely, it ends up in disaster. It's premature. That's what the problem is. So he's saying that the aqil, the intelligent one, is the one who will keep himself concealed until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself takes care of revealing the person without any intention on that own person's behalf. It said that Mufti Taqi Uthmani and Mufti Rafi Uthmani, both of them, they were prohibited by their sheikh from taking on any lectures, any speeches, for quite a while. You can't go and give any public speech. On one occasion, somebody came along and said that I'd like you to come and speak at this program. And I said, sorry, we can't do it. Sheikh said no. The sheikh was Dr. Abdul Hayy Al-Arifi, one of the khulafa of Mullah Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi. So after their father's death, that he was their sheikh. So anyway, so on that occasion, what happened is somebody came, one big scholar, a lot of respect they had for him as well. He came and told one of the two brothers, I can't remember, I think it was maybe Mufti Rafi Uthmani, Mufti Rafi, I think, the older brother. So he said, look, I can't, our sheikh, you know. So he goes, don't worry, I'll tell your sheikh. So he thought the sheikh is never going to say yes. But that time, for some reason, the sheikh said, you must go and give that talk. But now, mashallah, you see there, you know, first it was, let them really prepare themselves well. There's one hadith that really, for anybody in this position, there's one hadith that really is frightening. Man sammaa, sammaa Allahu bih. Man sammaa, sammaa Allahu bih. Anybody who wants to be heard, we will make him to be heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him to be heard. If you want to promote yourself, there's many ways of promoting yourself. The easiest way is to do something silly, controversial, and you become even more famous. This is the world the way it is today. This is how the pulse of people work. So I think the main thing in all of this is that one needs to be well grounded. That this well grounded, and number two, intention. Intention, intention. This is the biggest challenge, the intention part. Then there's a number of pitfalls in this path. One of the pitfalls is that a person is, everybody believes that they are capable, but for some reason they really put themselves down and not. That sometimes is shaitan. So it's a strange balance. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to intention. It all comes down to intention. So the main reason for, you can say, concealing yourself is to avoid ostentation, showing off, love of fame and position. That's the main reason here. That is the main reason here, because it's very detrimental for the heart. That's essentially what the reason is here. And so you might say, well, look, if I go out and I do something, there's fa'idah, there's benefits. This is a potential harm. So you've got potential benefits against versus potential harm. Or just say harm versus benefit. And generally the rule that the fuqaha uses, dar'ul mafasid. Dar'ul mafasid muqaddamun ala jalbil manafi'. To repel harms is superior. And yeah, it's superior and it comes before attracting benefits. So if there's something in which there's a possible benefit, but then there's possible harm, then go with repelling the harm. That's the ruling that you should apply. That's the maxim that you should apply. Because sometimes a person will say to themselves, if I go out there, if I take this position, if I start doing this, then people will benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Dharr, innaka da'ifun. O Abu Dharr, you're weak. Wa innaha amana. And this position, it's a responsibility. It's a big responsibility. It's an amana, it's a trust. Wa innaha yawm al-qiyamati khizyun wa nadama. But on the day of judgment, it will come back on you as a source of disgrace. As a source of disgrace and remorse. Illa man akhadaha bihaqqiha. Except the one who takes this position with its rights. It's fully rightful to take that position. Wa adda alladhi alayhi fiha. And then fulfills the rights that he should be fulfilling once he's in that position. Another hadith is to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Abdul Rahman, la tas'al al-imara, don't ask for leadership. فَإِنَّكَ إِنَا أُعْتِيتَهَا عَنْ مَسْأَلَةٍ Because if you are appointed, you are given it, after you ask for it, after you campaign for it, after you promoted yourself for it, after you nominated or had yourself nominated for it, then وَكِلْتَ إِلَيْهَا Then it's you and that position. That's what it means. It's you and that position. Then it depends on how good your prowess is. There's going to be no assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no tawfiq. It's the way you are then, how you deal with it. You're left to the forces then. But then he said, وَإِنْ يُعْطِيتَهَا بِغَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ أُعِنْتَ عَلَيْهَا If you were appointed and given that position, placed in that position without you asking for it, but people encouraged you, they considered you the correct one, and they kind of forced you into it, or really pressured you into it, then you will be assisted. You will be assisted. So the other thing is that, just as it's not right for a person to put themselves out there without having the right to do so, and being worthy of doing so. I mean, even when I'm speaking like this, I'm frightened. I'm sitting here doing these lectures for such a long time. I don't know what my state is, to be honest. You know, because what is our state? When you see the bigger scholars and the greater scholars, that's really what it is. So I pray to Allah that He forgive me. I pray to Allah that He, you know, teach me something after having sat here for such a long time, that Allah Ta'ala give us some with your barakah, inshaAllah. But then he says that if that's bad enough, then he says there's something even worse, which is to take somebody from, which is to take from somebody like this, who puts himself up. Which is to take from somebody who's putting himself up prematurely. Which is by supporting him and listening to him and everything like this, this is even worse. They're not capable. Not competent. It's less in England. In England, we have a very strong Muslim social system in which people generally cannot get away with murder in terms of corruption. You can't just get any Tom, Dick and Harry to stand up and give a khutbah. People are very particular. And the reason why I say this, there's a lot of people who have issues with this. They're saying that, you know, some of our masajid are something that if a person doesn't have this big of a beard, they won't let him on the minbar. If they don't wear clothing of this nature, they won't let him on the minbar. To a certain degree, that's very good. To a certain degree, sometimes it has become a bit excessive, right? Where we have issues sometimes where in a Hanafi masjid, they won't let a Shafi'i pray because they have some weird idea that people will get confused. It's like, it's in their mind. They're getting confused. So they will stop a Shafi'i scholar from leading Jum'ah. They happen in a big masjid. People will get confused. What's your problem? Why are they going to get confused? Do you think people are stupid or something? Are they going to get confused? You're confused. You have that sometimes. Right? So sometimes these people who are managing places, they overreact. They are overprotective, as though they're dealing with children. Like people can't make their own mind up. Don't read in the 7 qira'at. It causes a fitna. You're the fitna causer. You're the one who's saying it causes a fitna. Nobody else causes the fitna. Do you understand? So, there's that. Now, where I was in America before, anybody who knows how to speak well, learn a few hadith, and they become famous. Guys, a hafiz of the Qur'an only. But he can speak well, he's got a gift of the gab, and he becomes a national scholar. And people listen to them. When is somebody spends time? Somebody doesn't spend, they just know how to articulate well. Allah's given them some gift of how to speak well. They may, may have memorized the Quran, or they may have studied a few hadith or whatever and know a few things, and then they become a national speaker. Just because they speak better than others, they become more popular and famous, and people make them. Obviously, you don't become famous without people making you famous. Fame is all about people. You can't become famous yourself. If nobody listens to you, you can't become famous. Right? You could be plastered in every newspaper, pay for it, you know, media campaign, millions of pounds or dollars. But if people don't care, it's going to be useless. This is a weird dynamic. It's a weird dynamic. Just because somebody is popular doesn't mean they're accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both we should think that about ourselves and we should think about other people. But then of course there has to be a balance. We mustn't second guess everybody and doubt everybody. We must give people the benefit of the doubt to a certain degree as well. But that's what he's saying here, that it's your right. If your brother, you see him start going beyond his level, you see your brother going beyond his level, advise him. And subhanAllah, there are people who are on masjid boards and they're not doing much, and I tell them, even if they're close to me, I tell them, it's your responsibility. You'd rather get yourself off. Take yourself off. They said, oh, we can't do anything, nobody else is going to listen. Well then, you being there are a liability. Because you being there, you're taking the space, you can't influence anybody else, your being there is not really of any benefit then, why are you there for? And I don't want to say this, but there are some people who only come to the masjid for the politics. They only come to the masjid because their friends are there. The hotter the politics, more people come. I had a person I knew who graduated in India. He was from another country. He came to... this was when I was in America. There was a masjid that was looking for an imam. And he was told to come. He was told to come, and his meeting was going to be after, I think, Fajr prayer, something. You might say that's a bit strange, but people are working during the daytime, evening. So after Fajr was probably the best time when everybody's not at work, right? Could have been any prayer time, doesn't matter. He got there for Fajr, nobody there. They all came in after Salat. He said, I'm not coming. I'm never going to be here. He said, I can't take this job. What kind of thing is this that you guys come for a meeting after the Fajr Salah, but you don't come for the Salah? Okay, maybe somebody was late or whatever the case, but this wasn't the case. Nobody came. They all came after the Fajr Salah. Intentionally, it seems, according to him. So, if you see your brother doing this, then just advise them that this is not the right thing for you to do yet. What it does is that once you become famous or trying to become famous or in position, there are responsibilities of that stage. There are certain things that are demanded of you. And what it does is that it takes away from your preparation time. It takes away from your development. So you don't develop as you should do in your basis. You become very good in terms of public relation maybe, but you don't have a basis. And until your base isn't solid, then it's not really going to be of that benefit. If you solidified your base, then you went out, you'd be much more effective. If you're so effective right now, you'd be even more effective. Once you're out there, it's very difficult to come out. There are certain international speakers that I know who have said so many times, that's it, I'm off. Next 2 years, I'm not going to do anything, whatever. It's just very difficult, you know, to stay away. It's just demand is very great. And so on and so forth. Allah help us. The next point he makes is, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَنْ يَتَظَاهَرَ بِعَدَاوَةِ مَنْ عَادَاهُ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ أَمَّا مُعَادَاتُهُ بِالْبَاطِنِ فَلَا تَجُوزُ. It's kind of a complicated one. That another right of one brother over the other is that he should express enmity towards the one who exercises enmity with your brother. So you've got a third person who's an enemy of your brother. You should also, without rights, you know, he's expressing this, harbors this enmity against your brother without a right, you should also outwardly express it. Right? I haven't got my head around this one properly yet, but I'm going to mention it. He says, so outwardly, you should also express enmity towards this person. Why is he harboring enmity towards your friend, your close brother? However, he says, you're not allowed to harbor enmity for this person inside. You may express it outside just for teaching him a lesson, but you can't really hate him inside. You can't have that enmity inside. That is لا تجوز, فلا تجوز. حتى عدو شيخ الإنسان لا يجوز معاداته بالباطل. So much so that your sheikh, who's supposed to be the person that you really look up to and you know you have so much for, even his enemy, you should not hate him from inside. You should not harbor enmity for him from inside. بل يجب عليه مظاهرة بعداوته فقط. You only express it outwardly to show what kind of despicable act that person is doing. كما يجتنب عليه يجتنب من غضب عليه شيخه. Just as it is the same thing to abstain from the one who your shaykh is angry with. And this is in following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unhappy with the three sahaba, Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two, then he told nobody to speak to them, so they also avoided speaking. Because there was a certain punishment that was taking place, certain admonition being given to them. And this was for a particular measure. The next point he makes is, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَنْ يَقُومَ لَهُ إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ. But remember in the previous one, you can't hate somebody just because your friend hates them for no reason. You have no reason to hate them. And they hate him, so you hate him as well. That's not right. Here you should then, in that case, you should be advising your friend not to feel like this. Okay, the next point is, أَنْ يَقُومَ لَهُ إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ. You should stand up for your brother if he comes. We generally do to go and open the door anyway, but we should stand up for your brother to show him welcome when he comes. So comes into the house, if your child or somebody shows him in or allows him in, he comes into the room, you should still stand up. It's a good adab to do so. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ هُوَ ذَٰلِكَ لَا سِيَّمَا فِي الْمَحَافِلِ. Even if he dislikes that you do that, you should do it, especially if it's in a gathering. Especially if it's in a gathering, somebody, your close friend comes, you should stand up for them. Because the ulama, the mashayikh have said, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَتْرُكَ الْقِيَامَ لِأَخِيكَ فِي الْمَحَافِلِ. Beware of not standing, beware of abandoning standing up for your brother, especially in gatherings. Because فَرُبَّمَا تَوَلَّدَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْحِقْدُ وَالْضَغَائِنِ. Because maybe from that, some kind of acrimony will be created in the heart. فَتَعْجِزْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ إِزَالَتِهِ. And after that you will be unable to remove that feeling from the heart. Now, this has to be explained a bit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to stand up for some very close people, especially his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to stand up for her. If he saw her coming, he would stand up for her. It's in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad of Imam Bukhari. It's related there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would leave, the Sahaba would, whenever he would leave the gathering in the masjid to go to his room, so if he's here, his room is there. When he would leave, the Sahaba would stand. This is related by Bazzar and Bayhaqi. Sometimes they may not do because he disliked people standing up for him. One very interesting thing is that that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that anybody who likes people to stand up for them, you shouldn't stand up for him. Because again, the whole thing comes down to intention. So he says that love, the love for somebody standing up for you, if somebody loves people to stand up for them, this is going to erase your good deeds, because it's insincerity, it's ostentation. And this has got nothing to do with your standing up for them though. There's two separate issues. One is the person shouldn't like people to stand up for them. The other one is that we should stand up for people. Do you see that? So both sides should do their part. This person should not feel great if somebody stands up for him, and could correct their intention, but we should stand up for people. Muhyiddin ibn Arabi mentions in his wasaya that once he stood up for one of the ulama of Iraq of his time. So that scholar said to him, don't do this. Don't do this. لا تفعل. And in the nahya qad warada fi thalik, he even gave him a hadith. He says like there's a prohibition mentioned in hadith about this. You shouldn't stand up for people. Right? So Ibn al-Arabi says to him, Ya faqih, anta al-mukhatab, Allah tuhibba thalik. your responsibility, what the hadith you're referring to, that addresses you, in the sense that the address to you is that you should not prefer this, that you do not love this, and it doesn't get to your heart. However, ما أنا المخاطب بأني لا أقوم لمثلك. I am not commanded that I don't stand for people like you. You're commanded that you don't change your heart and you don't like people to stand up for you. Right? That's understandable. But I'm not also commanded that I shouldn't stand up for somebody like you. So the Shaykh really liked his answer. And he says, okay, that's a good way to understand it. That's why Imam Bayhaqi relates in his Shu'ab al-Iman from Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that, you know, when after the days were up where the Prophet ﷺ shunned him, then after that came the day when the tawbah was accepted, his repentance was accepted, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that acceptance. Then he went to the masjid, and then he says, مَا قَامَ إِلَيَّ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ غَيْرُهُ. That was, فَقَامَ إِلَيَّ طَلْحَةُ بْنُ عُبَيْدِ اللَّهِ يُهَرْوِلُ حَتَّى صَافَحَنِي وَهَنَّأَنِي. He says, when I got to the masjid, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of the Ashara Mubashara, he got up, ran towards me, shook my hands, and gave me the glad tidings. Nobody else from the Ansar Muhajirin stood up. وَلَا أَنْسَاهَا لِطَلْحَ. And I will never forget this act of Talha that he did. It was so touching. So this is how you put all of this in perspective about standing up for somebody. So generally speaking, it shows respect. When you can't stand, then you move a bit. You give some expression. You just sit there and let somebody come and sit there. It just seems very cold. And humans, this is how we are. We react to these kind of little things. So it's our responsibility. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَلَّا يَنْسَاهُ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ بِالْعَفْوِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ كُلَّمَا وَجَدَ وَقْتَهُ صَافِيًا مَعَ رَبِّهِ سَوَاءً كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي لَيْلٍ أَوْ نَهَارٍ أَوْ سُجُودٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. So, the other right of one brother over the other is that he should not forget him in his prayers, in his dua, for forgiveness, for pardon, for mercy, anytime he finds time. So part of our dua should be for our friends. It's almost like, you know, we're one. So if you make dua for yourself, you should make dua for others as well. And there's only benefit if you make dua for others. There's only benefit if you make dua for others, because according to the hadith, if you make dua for somebody else, you also get the like of that. And sometimes we may make dua for somebody else about something which didn't come to mind for ourselves, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that as well. Plus making dua for others and they have mercy, we're going to be interacting with such people, there's more mercy around us, it benefits us as well. So there's a selfish take on this as well if you want to. But that's not the reason we do it for. The more with dua we make for others around us, that they stay healthy and mubarak and marhum and so on and so forth, then we get the benefit of it as well. If everybody's making dua for others as well. We're living in a quantum world, aren't we? And we have to do our part so that the clubs work right and the reactions are correct. If we spoil the system, then the reaction is also corrupt. It will corrupt something else. Allah protect us. So whether this is night or day, remember them in your dua. And he says whether it's in sujood or otherwise, because Shafi'is, they have this, that they are allowed to make in any sujood. For the Hanafis, our sujood is, dua in sujood is only allowed in sunnah and nafil prayers, in non-fard prayers. Otherwise it's makruh in the other prayers. And that should be in Arabic, not in your local language. It's a makruh in any other language as well. So, but in sunnah and nafil prayers, you can make du'as from the Quran and so on and so forth. In your ruku and sajda, there's a great benefit in doing so. Okay, then he's got another few short ones here. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَلَّا يَحْقِدَ عَلَيْهِ. Another right of one brother over the other, which is a given right, which is what? You shouldn't have acrimony for them. You shouldn't harbor acrimony in your heart for them. Hadith mentions, ثَلَاثَةٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. There are three things which if they find in a person, Allah will forgive everything else. But those three things, مَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ سَاحِرًا يَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَ وَلَمْ يَحْقِرْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ. One is, whoever dies having no shirk, shirk essentially is one problem. The next problem is doing magic, sorcery. As they say, this jadu, right? The black magic. And going to other magicians like that. وَلَمْ يَحْقِدْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ. You know, magicians are not what you see in books, you know, with the hats and the sticks and that. These can be normal people who just know these really dirty things that they've studied somewhere, passed on from somebody else. And number three, which is what he's talking about here, is وَلَمْ يَحْقِدْ. You do not harbor this acrimony in your heart for your brother. You carry it with you all the time. Every time you think of him, you think of this. He did this to me. He did that to me. He's like this. It's such a polluted thought that is. Like, how long can you keep that thought in your heart for? Some people become used to it. They love thinking that way. In fact, if they probably had a day without that kind of thought, it'd be, what's going on today? It's a sunny day today. You know? I just don't understand. I would hate it. You know, for me, if I have this feeling about somebody, I just can't wait to overcome it. Because there's no life. You don't have time to have these thoughts and feelings. Allah protect us. You know, learn a lot when you're an imam. You can't harbor. There's people going to speak about you all the time. You can't get angry about them. It doesn't help. You can't do your job then. The qawm, the mashayikh, they say, كُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ حِقْدٌ أَوْ مَكْرٌ أَوْ خَضِيعَةٌ أَوْ غِشٌ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْخَلْقِ فَوَ كَذَّابٌ فِي طَرِيقِ الْقَوْمِ. Anybody who's serious about reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's on the path, but then he has this in their heart. One brother told me, he says, and this could come from anywhere, but he said, my wife, wonderful, but my fear on the day of judgment, what's going to take her down is the bad thoughts that she harbors in her heart for people. She can't take it out. I'm just giving this as an example. I'm not saying that women are inclined to do that. Men are inclined to do that as well. But it's just that this was just an observation a friend of mine mentioned about his wife. He said, you know, I have no fear about her except this fact, and I feel that it's going to take her down. I've got this fear. And that's where you call true companionship, to have the right fear about your brother so that you can your close ones, so that you can advise them. Right. He says that anybody who holds this kind of acrimony, hard feelings, deception, plotting for anybody, then that person is a liar. He's not on the true path. You can't be on the path of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and suluk if you have these thoughts in your heart. وَلَا يَجُوزُ أَن يَكُونَ دَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. This person should not be a da'i to Allah. This person should not be a da'i to Allah. He's a hypocrite. You have to sort your inside out from these things. Person could be committing zina, understandable. But this is very dangerous. They're both bad. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي إِذَا تَحَدَّثَ. Just going back to the dua one, just remember that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal mentions, he says, ما بت منذ 30 سنة إلا وأنا أدعو للشافعي وأستغفر له. You know why Imam Shafi'i is so famous and what he did, despite the fact that he died at a very young age. Right? He died at a very young age, 54 I think, or 53, around that age. Right? I think it's all Imam Ahmed's dua after him, his student Imam Ahmed. He says that, I haven't slept for 30 years, meaning I don't go to sleep for the for 30 years I have not slept except after making dua for Imam Shafi and seeking forgiveness for him. When you got people like Imam Ahmad making dua for you for 30 years, as the South Africans would say, right? For 30 years, then can you imagine? That's true friendship. That is true companionship. Then even after they've gone, you're making dua for them for so many years. Allahu Akbar. The next one saying, the next right of one brother over the other is that إذا تحدث أن يشخص ببصره إليه حتى يفرغ من حديثه. When your friend is talking, This could be for anybody, but when your friend is talking especially, then make sure you look at him. Pay him attention. Face in his direction.
وَقَدْ قَالُوا إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَمْتَأَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَزِيدُ فِي صَفَاءِ الْمَوَدَّةِ.
This will increase the purity of your love.
كَمَا أَنَّ التَّلَاهِي عَنْ حَدِيثِ الْأَخِ أَوْ قَطْءِ كَلَامِهِ قَبْلَ إِتْمَامِهِ يُورِثُ الْجَفَاءِ.
Just as being heedless, ignoring, not caring about your brother's speech, when he's talking to you, kind of doing something else today on your phone, kind of like this. Yeah. Oh, sorry, what did you say? That's what happens, isn't it?
أَوْ قَطْءِ كَلَامِهِ.
Or by constantly cutting his speech before he finishes it. Interrupting him. Some people can't help interrupting. What happens, some people, and they should recognize, they don't have an evil intention. But what it is that you start speaking, and as soon as they hear a few words, they relate to it, and they react to it immediately. They don't let you finish. They want to get their word in. And it's not like they have a bad intention. They just can't help it. They can't help putting their two cents into it. So they need to train themselves to stop and listen first. I've got a student like this. Yeah, mature student. He just can't help it. And I know that. So you start speaking and it sparks something and he just says something. It creates acrimony if that happens anyway.
وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَلَّا يَمْتَحِنَهُ.
It's another right of one brother over the other, is that you shouldn't test your brother. Don't put them under tests. It's not your job to do an MOT each year. Right? A roadworthy test, as they call them in some countries.
فَإِنَّ الْإِمْتِحَانَ مِنْ جِنْسِ كَشْفِ الْعَوْرَ.
Never thought about it that way. Testing somebody is from the same category as uncovering their nakedness. To see, is it all right? He doesn't have any scars underneath, does he? He is circumcised, isn't he? That's kind of like the extreme form of it.
وَقَدْ قَالُوا, the Mashaykh have said, إِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَمْدَحِنُوا إِخْوَانَكُمْ.
Beware of testing your brothers. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمْتَحِنُ عِبَادَهُ إِلَّا إِنْ عَلِمَ وَفَاءَهُمْ. Because even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tests His servants when He knows full well that they will be able to fulfill it. That's how He tests Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then Al-Amthal fal-Amthal. Those who are close. They're the ones who get tested. People like you and I don't get tested. Right? And sometimes you wonder when there's no test that are we even close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there's no test. But we ask Allah for afiyah. We ask Allah for well-being and safety and security, because we can't deal with tests. But that's what it is.
كَيْلَا يُخْجِلَهُمْ بِإِظْهَارِ مَا كَانَ كَاسِيًا عِنْدَهُمْ.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even test people like that, right? So that He doesn't embarrass them by revealing that which is uncovered. So don't test your brothers. Just keep it as it is. You'll be happy that way.
وَقِيلَ لِلْكُبْرَى.
Kubra is a sheikh whose name was Najmuddin Ahmad ibn Umar ibn Muhammad al-Kubra. Who was a major sheikh of his time who went and traveled to numerous places. And eventually he settled in Khawarizm. Khawarizm is above in the northern parts of Uzbekistan. The Khawarizm valley there. And he was very bold. He didn't care about anybody when he had to speak the truth. He was known for that. So he's, the sheikh refers to him and says, somebody said to him, أَلَا تَمْتَحِنْ أَصْحَابَكْ. Do you not test your companions? He said, قَالَ إِذَنْ نَخْرُجْ كُلُّنَا عُيُوبًا. He said, if we do that, then we will all come out with defects.
وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَنْ يَتَهَيَّ لِلِقَائِهِ بِالْحُرْمَةِ وَالتَّعْظِيمِ كُلَّمَا فَارَقَهُ. قال شيخ محي الدين ولو كان زمن المفارقة يسيرا إحسانا للظن بأن الله نفحه نفحة أو نظر إليه نظرة من نظراته التي في اليوم والليلة إلى قلوب عباده فصار بها أعلى مقام منه ثم إن كان ذلك الأمر صحيحا فقد وفاه حقه، وإن لم يكن صحيحا فقد تأدب مع الله حيث عامله بما تقتضيه المرتبة الإلهية من إكرام كل وارد على حضرتها. قال: وهذا الأمر قل من يتفقد نفسه فيه لاستحقام الغفلة على القلوب. This is a bit of a complicated one.
What he's saying here is that every time your brother goes away, you know, leaves you for whatever reason, you should prepare to meet him for the next time with a lot of honor and reverence. And he says, you know, even if this is for a short time, the reason for this is that you should feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him in this absence with you. He's just raised his status. He has just become of a higher status. So I need to respect him for that. He says that if that is the case, then what you're doing, then by that you'll be fulfilling his right. And if that's not the case, then you still, it's good that you have this adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is kind of deep stuff.
ومن حق الأخ على الأخ إذا رآه فيما لا ينبغي أن يعتقد أنه تاب من وقته وندم في سريرته. وقد كان بعض السلف يقول: إني لأستحي من الله أن أقطع التوبة عن شخص عصى ربه بحضرته ثم توارى عني بجدار.
This is another one to avoid suspicion and to avoid aggravating an already difficult matter. He says, another right of one brother over the other is that when he sees him doing something that is unfavorable, wrong, indecent, then he didn't see him again, then he should believe in his mind that he's made tawbah. He saw him, oh, he's made tawbah afterwards. And that he has been remorseful. And some of the Salaf used to say, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَنْ أَقْطَعَ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ شَخْصٍ عَصَى رَبَّهُ بِحَضْرَتِي. Some of the Salaf used to say that I feel embarrassed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I prevent somebody's tawbah who has disobeyed his Lord in front of me. And then after that he went behind the wall. So once he's gone, our hope should be that he's made tawbah. Of course, if you see somebody often doing something, then it's our responsibility to advise them. So this isn't that we become totally blind and never, but you don't jump to conclusions straight away about people all the time. You give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, we'll do one more point here. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يَحْفَظَ وُدَّهُ وَإِنْ خَانَ هُوَ وَزَاغَ مُرَاعَاتًا لِلْوُدِّ. Another right of one brother over the other is that he should protect and preserve the love that's between them. Even if this brother of yours is deceptive, he goes off track, just to keep the love going. Ibn al-Khattab, which is Ali ibn al-Khattab al-Jazari, not Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, once I saw my Lord in my sleep. I said, Ya Allah, oh my Lord, teach me something directly. I want something that you can teach me directly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya ibn al-Khattab, whoever acts with goodwill towards one who acts with bad will towards you, then he has been sincere in his thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever acts with badness towards somebody who acts with goodness towards them, then he has changed the ni'mah of Allah into kufr, into ungratefulness. Because that's counterproductive. It's wrong. So I said, Ya Rabbi Hasbi, faqala hasbuk. He said, that's enough. I'll just try to act on that much. The author says, وَهَذَا الْأَمْرُ قَدْ صَارَ عَزِيزًا فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ. This matter is very difficult during this time. وَمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ أَمَلِهِ سِوَى الْكِلَابِ. اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. وَمَا بَقِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ سِوَى الْكِلَابِ. The only people who do this, the only creature that does this, who still shows you faithfulness, even though you act with disobedience towards it or aggressively towards it, is the dog. So only the dogs have this character left within them. كما هو مذكور في كتاب، he's got a book called فضل الكلاب على كثير من لبس الثياب.
the superiority of dogs over the majority of those that wear clothes. Just showing the despicable nature of how people are sometimes.
وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِي أَلَّا يَمُنَّ عَلَيْهِ بِمَا فَعْلَهُ.
This one is a very important one. Listen to this very carefully. This one's a very important one. And if you're on the receiving end of this, it's just so despicable. It's so mean. And it's so embarrassing. Another right of one brother over the other is that he remind him of the good that he's done for him. He reminds him of the favor he's done for him. Especially when they have an argument. So they're having an argument, something happened, and then you start, I've done all of these good things for you. Remember, I did this for you. I did this for you. And speaking like this to me. So that person has forgotten, so you remind them of it.
فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ الْمَعْرُوفِ فِي الْمُخَاصَمَةِ عُنْوَانٌ عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي.
For you to remind somebody during an argument, a quarrel, of the good that you've done for them, is essentially the subject of having no sincerity. It's just the signal of having no sincerity. That's why you remind you, if you did that for Allah, it should be end of story. It's done and dusted. You've got your reward from Allah.
وَالدَّلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ خِصَّةِ الْأَصْلِ.
This is a proof of your core, your essence being lowly. You're not a dignified individual inside. That you can come up, this is what you think of at that time. This is what you think of at that time. I remember once there was a case where one brother assisted somebody else and defended him in front of others. Now, these two are arguing. And for this brother, when he kind of didn't have much else to say, he said to him that you also said so and so about me to somebody else, which was favorable. But because it was a defense in all honesty and in all goodwill, he was using that to say that although that was not maybe 100% correct. So now this person is thinking that I defended him in front of them. Maybe I was a bit misunderstanding of the full point, but I defended him. And now he's using that same defense against me when it was for his benefits. Now that is what you call khissatul asl. Meanness of essence. The inside is rotten. That's what it is.
فَإِنَّ طَيِّبَ الْأَصْلِ لَا يَمُنُّ أَبَدًا بِمَا فَعَدَهُ مَعَ أَخِيهِ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ.
Because the person who has got an excellent and good and noble essence, that person will never remind their brother of any good that they've done for them.
بَلْ يَرَى الْفَضْلَ لِذَٰلِكَ الْأَخِ الَّذِي أَكَلَ عِنْدَهُ مَثَلًا أَوْ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ هَدِيَّةً.
In fact, what they will think is that it's his excellence that he came and ate with me. Not that I fed him. You know, one is he accepted my food. That to believe that is better than say, I fed him. I took you out to eat. I gave you this much money. I gave you my daughter. You know, whatever people say these days. You know, like, he took. He's the honorable person, or that he accepted my gift.
In a hadith, it mentions that ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There will be three people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at on the day of judgment. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ, will not purify them.
So it's almost like he's not going to forgive them, because if he doesn't purify them on the day of judgment, then what? Right?
وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَنِيمٌ. Thus there's going to be severe punishment for them. One is al-musbil,
a person who dangles his garments. Number two, al-mannan, the one who reminds people of the good he's done for them.
وَالْمُنْفِقْ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلِفِ الْكَاذِبِ.
And number three is the one who swears oaths to try to promote his wares. Wallahi is like this, wallahi is like this, wallahi is like this. For such a small deed, he takes the big name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially, he is a liar in this. This will never tear, this will never break. It'll run for 100 years, wallahi. You know, that's the way they say it. Don't worry, woh to chalta rahega, woh to kabhi nahi chutega, dekho ye kabhi nahi chutega. I think that's just the way in the West where they just leave it there and you buy. It just feels a bit easier than when you go to India, Pakistan, and you go, you're not even there yet. Like, you've just gone, what do you want? What do you want? Come on, let me look around first, man. You know?
وقال بعضهم المن بالمعروف في المخاصمة دمل لا يندمل.
To remind somebody of a favor during an argument or quarrel is a dummal. Dummal is like a boil, a kurh, right? A wound, a blister, right? La yandamil, which never gets better. You will constantly have pus coming out of it. What that means is la yunsa, you will never be forgotten. If somebody does that to you, you'll never forget it. بل يصير يكدر الصحبة كلما تذكره. Every time you will remember it, it will harm your relationship. It will pollute and adulterate the friendship.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Okay, I don't think we can do more than a few each week, because it's not about doing a lot. It's more about reflecting over and hopefully bringing it in our lives. So I kind of noticed that after a few, that's all you can do, I think. I don't think we can act faster than that. Right? We can't act faster than that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and assist us.